Welcome to the 124th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based endurance athlete and cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I probably should say cardiologist and then endurance athlete, since I do the cardiology for a living and the endurance athletic things for fun, but, you know, things get confused occasionally. So things are well down here. It's hot and humid training. I'm training for Ironman Chattanooga, which is the end of September. So we're ramping up the bikes and ramping up the runs and ramping up the swims. It's going well. When you're training in the hot heat humidity, your heart rate goes up higher and it's harder to cool yourself. So you run a little slower. And you have to hydrate a little bit more. There was some discussion on Facebook this last week on hydration, and I saw people talking about trying to pre-hydrate, so to speak, before a long bike or a long run, and they were talking about feeling bloated, and that's just crazy. You can really get yourself into some big trouble by over-drinking when you're not thirsty. It's a condition called hyponatremia, which is it's worrisome this time of year because people think they're going to get dehydrated, so they try to pound down the fluids or pound down the sports drink or even take salt tablets or some sort of electrolyte tablets, thinking they'll prevent cramps and dehydration. And what actually happens is your salt is a different concentration than what you're taking in. So you end up diluting the sodium in your blood. And hyponatremia actually means more water than salt, not a salt deficiency, which a lot of people think. So by pounding down, water and sports drinks, you're never going to replace the electrolytes the same exact way. And what usually happens is you end up diluting your sodium. And with that, you can get sick and bloated and, worst case scenario, actually have a brain swelling and die. And that actually happened early on when Gatorade started being in sports drinks in general. I'm not going to blame Gatorade, but the idea when they first started introducing that into marathon running was, you know, drink early, drink often was a sign that they put up near the Boston Marathon starts. And that's actually when there started to first be deaths associated with marathon running because people were running a much slower than elite athletes, and they were stopping every couple of miles to take in 7-8 ounces of drink, and they were actually becoming hyponatremic collapsing on the course. And they were treated by paramedics by thinking that they were dehydrated, so they were given again a salt solution that was more heavily water than salt, and so it actually caused worsening of the condition and people would die. So the reality of it is drink to thirst. You don't have to prepare. Drink adequate every day. You know, you should drink plenty of fluids, that your urine should be clear. But you can't, you know, store water for when you start to sweat a whole lot. So drink when you're thirsty during the day. Drink mainly water. Try to avoid things that cause a lot of diuresis, you know, like don't live on coffee and soft drinks. And then when you're out exercising, drink when you're thirsty. And your body will tell you. And you really should finish up lighter than heavier when you're doing a long endurance run or endurance event. And if you ended up heavy, that actually means you're retaining fluid. And people that have done, long distance training, you know, realize on occasion that you get this bloated feeling. And basically when you're taking in the water, you can't absorb it. So it just actually goes in out into your tissues. So you get, you know, you put the fluid into your skin and it's not in your bloodstream where you need it anyway. It's in your gut. It doesn't go where you need it anyways. You're just carrying, you're like a waterlogged carrying extra fluid around. And then after you stop exercise and your body is allowed to cool down, you gradually absorb that. And then you start to diurese. So you know you actually had too much on board. So you got to be really careful not to over drink water. And the reality of, you know, the risk of getting into trouble from marked dehydration is pretty rare. It used to be when marathons were first in the Olympics, you weren't even allowed to take a drink until mile 18. And, you know, a lot of elite marathoners don't drink or eat much. So it's certainly not something that has to be done every 2 or 3 miles. It's just something that's pushed. And, you know, if you look around, you know, people are always carrying a bottle of something with them for fear of getting dehydrated. And again, that's really not the case. The other good thing to do in this kind of weather is to eat a lot of fruit, because fruit contains a lot of water. So, you know, if you have fruit with each of your meals, not only are you loading up on antioxidants and phytonutrients, you're also hydrating yourself. So if you're eating your lot of greens, which have a lot of water, and, you know, those kind of vegetables, and add in fruit, you'll go a long way to helping yourself hydrate, and you don't have to be, you know, be pounding down the water all the time. You know, I think we have been asked, you know, repeatedly about post-exercise, what do you eat? And again, you know, nutrient-dense foods, the more phytonutrients and antioxidants that you can get in, the quicker you'll recover. So even though you may have burned off a couple thousand calories, refueling with French fries and pizza is not going to be a good way to get the clear the damage out of your in inflammation caused by endurance athletics out of your system. You need the phytonutrients and antioxidants to kind of help repair yourself. So, you know, it's another reason. You know, not only did you not burn off all that much calories, even if you ran a marathon, you can eat through that pretty quick. The idea is to reload with nutrient-dense foods that help you repair your body, not add to the damage that you just did. So, as many of you know, I've checked out the website, and encourage you to please go to drdelaney.com to check out the new website. It looks great. It's all been all revamped. If you go on the website and you click on join the newsletter, I'll send you 5 of my recipes that we like to eat at my house. Also check out, you know, what's going on. We've started the membership practice transition, and we've had 3 information sessions that have gone very well. A lot of people are signing up. I want you to remember, even if you aren't in Port Charlotte and the surrounding areas, that we have online programs. Both there's an online level 1 and level 2. Level 1 is all online with webinars and newsletters and private Facebook group. And then level 2, I'll do a monthly call and unlimited emailing that we can communicate to help you reach your goals. So that's an opportunity if you're not into town. And then if you're in town, we, you know, with the memberships, basically, I'm doing cardiology, primary care, and wellness, and that's a huge component of it. I'm really excited seeing the people at the information sessions. I'm excited to get started with them just to show them how well we can prevent and reverse disease and to see their improvements that they can make in their own health. There are some people that are really struggling. You know, they've been trying their best to try to get healthy, and despite being pretty young, more and more things are starting to happen to them, and you know, they've just been given more and more medication by their primary care physician, and their nutrition basically comes from what they see on the internet. And it's very, very difficult out there. So I can't wait to help these people. It's going to be a quick turnaround in their health, more than they ever dreamed, once we can get them started in nutrition class and work with them to get them off their medications and, you know, help them optimize their health and wellness. So please check out the website. You can also email me at jami@drdelaney.com for more information. And there's buttons on that website to click if you want to come to an information session, or if you're local, or have us give you a call. I would be happy to do that. As many of you know, I listen to podcasts as well when I'm running and driving, and I hear a lot of things that hit home to me. And one of the things, listening to a podcast by one of the founders of Siri, is he stated, "You can do more than you think you can right now." And that's kind of a motto that he lives by. And I've also heard that by some researchers in the world of endurance athletics as well, that, you know, people always have a little bit something left in the tank. You know, you always see people sprinting across the finish line, even though they thought they were dragging, you know, a mile up the road. And it's the same thing with anything in life. You always can do more than you think you can. And, you know, sometimes we our heads are what really gets in the way to keep us from doing, you know, doing things to help ourselves. And that can even be in transitioning to a plant-based. I hear, you know, the words, I'm trying to eat a little bit better. I'm trying to add some more vegetables to my diet. But those little changes don't make a big difference in your overall health. And then people, you know, will come back in and say, well, the justification is, it's, you know, I tried eating a few more plants and it's just not working. And, you know, that's, you talk yourself out of that. And that's, you know, like we do a lot of things. We talk ourselves out of changing because a little bit of effort, we quickly say, well, it's not working or it's not worth it. There's a new blood test that looks at cholesterol, and it looks to see whether the cholesterol is actually being produced by one's liver or it's being absorbed. And the company I met with looking at this blood test, they said, well, you can tell, you know, where people are making a lot of cholesterol, and then you can put them on statins and they can do better. And, you know, my interpretation was that it's, you know, I see what happens. He's like, oh, it's not your fault. You know, you're just making a lot of cholesterol, and that's why your cholesterol is high. And so we'll give you a blood a pill, and that'll take care of things. And then you don't have to become involved in your nutrition because it's really your liver that's the problem and not what you're eating. But this blood test is going to say that there's cholesterol that's coming from the outside. And what I thought that meant to me was that it's going to show whether or not, yeah, you are eating some animal products, because only animal products have cholesterol in them. So if you're getting cholesterol from the outside, then you're not being true to yourself. And, you know, so your lipids are still high because, you haven't achieved the right dietary change. You know, again, I hear people say, I just eat blank once in a while, but you can't keep track of that once in a while thing. It's always more than people realize. I think it's going to be great in helping people actually to define their healthcare goals. And because actually when you say it and you give it word and you give it meaning and you realize it, that is your conviction, then it's easy to formulate a plan and work that plan and focus on getting to the goal step by step. And, you know, I can't wait to help people. We have some challenges that we're going to take in the practice with helping people to really make some major changes on getting to their goal and be able to track them with markers. Not only their lipids, but, you know, their perfusion of their coronary arteries, their body composition. And it's going to be some exciting changes, mobility as well. So I can't wait to see people make these changes. The consumption of dairy was a big, it seemed to be a big repeat offender this week in my practice. Both somebody in the office and somebody at the information center is just like, you know, giving up dairy so hard. I really like dairy. Milk is, you know, I eat milk every day. What am I going to put on my cereal? And, you know, first of all, the cereal is probably, you know, that's a misnomer in and of itself, as far as, you know, Kellogg's came up with the great misconception that eating cornflakes or Rice Krispies or something along those lines was healthy because you have all the vitamins and minerals added to this, you know, highly processed food stuff. So, you know, we want to get people back to basics, fruit and a little bit of nuts and oatmeal for breakfast, for starters, the real thing, not the little packages that you rip that, again, has been processed to the point of almost being powder. So, number one, that's the step. And, you know, as I explained to her, there's tons of nut milks out there, and you just have to find which one you might like. So, you know, give them all a test. And, you know, as I talked with Tim Marie a couple weeks ago, you know, line them up. Try 1 week, try almond milk, try one with vanilla, one without, one sweetened, one without, you know, cashew milk, hemp milk, rice milk, coconut milk. Give them a shot. And as far as the oat meal goes, you know, you don't need it. Actually, there's no law that says you have to put milk on oatmeal. You cook it with water and add your fruit for some sweetness, and you know, you're done. And especially if you're trying to save calories and decrease your fat intake, just use the water. You're not going to miss it. And, you know, when it comes down to the cheese aspect of things, again, I tell people, you know, nutritional yeast, butternut squash with nutritional yeast. And again, then now we'll go with a little bit of almond milk and perhaps a few cashews can make a really good cheesy sauce. And I can put that in the show notes as far as my butternut squash cheese sauce. When you start doing a lot of the sauces with cashews, you have to watch because you're going to add a lot of fat to your diet. But a once in a while cashew cheese sauce with the cashews, nutritional yeast, and lemon juice, thin that out. That can be, you know, a good sauce for things. Again, that shouldn't be an everyday occurrence. We don't want you to go down the road of that we have tons of cashews every day in your diet, because that may impact your lipid profile negatively, because we know that even plant fats can be turned into cholesterol by the liver if your, you know, your liver is bound and determined on making cholesterol. So you kind of have to watch your blood tests and see how much in the way of nuts you can tolerate. But you know, there's plenty of even the nutritional yeast just by itself. And then as you just kind of back away, you know, you start to taste vegetables and you're not really looking for the cheese in and of itself. And that's just part of having to back off of it. Once you start enjoying all the vegetables on the pizza without the cheese, you don't miss the cheese. It's just a source of indigestion and bloatiness afterwards. So just give up the dairy cheese and go on. There's nothing healthy about it. And we know that the areas that, you know, eat the most cheese tend to have the most osteoporosis and the most, you know, breast cancer and prostate cancer, more inflammation. It's going to, you know, trigger autoimmune diseases. So the reality of it is the biggest bang for your buck when you're changing is to get rid of dairy first, because you're going to feel the healthiest as a result of getting rid of the dairy. So I was thinking about what my favorite foods were this week, you know, and I tell my patients I enjoy every meal, and it's not that, you know, I ever gave up animal products and I gave things up. It was just opened up such a vast array of other foods and other combinations and ways to do things. And one thing that we've enjoyed is making a sort of tuna fish spread, obviously not with tuna, but either with chickpeas. But most recently, we've started using sunflower seeds. So we soak about a cup of sunflower seeds, and you can add some dulse flakes or nori to that to give it the, you know, a little bit of seafood type of taste, a little bit of tamari, a little bit of mustard, and then your relish, and you can make a kind of a tuna fish type of a salad to put over greens or put in a pita pocket. But recently, my daughter came up with a great recipe as far as a kind of a sloppy Joe version. So you take the sunflower seeds and you just add the relish and some mustard, a little sriracha if you want to make it hot, and your favorite barbecue sauce. And you mix all that up, and you can put it with some red onions or not, and you can put it over greens, or you can put it in. My mother loved putting it in making it a sandwich on Ezekiel bread. So you can actually make yourself what's, you know, a kind of a raw sloppy Joe, and it's really, really good. I had mine over a big bed of spinach, you know, with the rest of the salad fixings, and it was really, really good. And then, of course, you know, usually my favorite meal is what the meal I had was last. And so I had bean soup. We had, my mother made a giant pot of bean soup this week. And so I had the leftovers for lunch, and it was really good. And, you know, I wanted my greens, so I brought my greens in a big bowl. And I just threw the greens in on top of my hot soup and mixed them all up. And that's a great combination. So if you're trying to get your greens in, you know, especially those 4 cups a day, you know, put them in your soup. And they don't have to be, you know, all mushy and all wilty if you don't want them. It can be just in there a little on the top. So you got a little bit of crunch left. And it's with the warm soup. So that's a great idea if you don't want to carry extra bowls to work and have that available to you. So I, you know, really, really did enjoy the bean soup today. And then yesterday I had the raw sloppy Joe. We also did a stuffed portobello with peppers and celery and tomatoes, and that's a really good side dish. But we also had some simple meals, you know, with green beans and sweet potato and a salad, and that's a really good meal. So it doesn't have to be fancy. On the weekends, I try to, you know, step it up a little bit and make something a little bit more complicated. It takes a little bit more time. But, you know, during the week, it can be quick. And if you make a pig and pot of soup, you have it for lunch. And, you know, you can, again, put, you know, have the soup one night, then have the soup over some homemade polenta one night. You can have the soup over some another whole grain another night, or you can put it with your salad. So there's a lot you can do with soups as far as repeat dinners or taking it for lunch. So, you know, you kind of repurposing meals and combining and switching things out to make things good. The other thing is, you know, sauerkraut is a fermented vegetable, and there's a lot of different sauerkrauts with different flavorings, and those can be added to salads to spice the salad up. So you're going to get some prebiotics when you're doing the fermented sauerkraut, and you can add those to other dishes, whether it's another cooked cabbage dish. So you're getting that prebiotic along with the greens. So think about picking up some of the new sauerkrauts that have either jalapeno or some of them are you know the kimchi flavors or ginger or dill. And add those to your dishes. We make a Reuben on occasion, and we use one of those sauerkrauts as well and serve that with tempeh, and that's a really good dish. So think about repurposing things and then think about how you can take regular things and add them to other things that you kind of do a little bit of creating on your own. For the info sessions in the evening and morning, we've been having a fruit salad, but we've also been having some cookies that I've been making, and you know, they're the basis of the cookies are basically oats and a little bit of whole wheat flour and raisins and dates, and whether you add cacao powder to that or make carrots and add carrots to make a carrot cake variety, but or blueberries or other fruits, that it's easy to make these quick bars that you can mix up in one bowl. And, you know, you don't necessarily even need a recipe if you just take, you know, some oats and some flour, you know, about a teaspoon of baking powder, and then just add in your, you know, your side ingredients. So if you, you know, and that makes a great bar. You can either make them into squares or cut them so you can take them instead of buying these protein bars that you get in the store or that have a bunch of a million different ingredients. I always add a flax egg to my bars. And that's 1 tablespoon of flaxseed with 3 tablespoons of water. So now if you have that for breakfast, you're getting your flaxseed already or adding to your flaxseed. So you're getting some omega-3s. So there's really nothing bad in. You can have a little bit of chopped walnuts or a little bit of chopped almonds, but you have some dried fruit as a sweetener. So whether it's dates or raisins, you can use a little maple syrup if you want a little bit sweeter, or you can, you know, if you think ahead enough, you can soak some raisins overnight and use that as some of your liquid, as well as some nut milk for those. So there's a whole host of recipes, but I'd encourage you, if it says anything about oil, take that out. You don't need it. Never need oil in any of these bars. So don't use oil at all. It's not going to stick. You don't even need it. It's going to hang together okay. So just if you see oil in a recipe, take it out right away. I was happy. I was on Facebook last night, and I saw this post about 13 vegan doctors who will make you rethink what you eat. And it's like, oh man, I wish I was part of that. I'm a vegan doctor. And so I started looking at the other doctors, and I got down to the end of the list, and I was there. So I was so excited and surprised. So I shared that on Facebook. I was the first time I've ever actually been included in one of these groups. So maybe the word's getting out that we got a Facebook page, and we got a podcast going on, a plant-based nutrition show. You know, share this podcast with your friends. I want to get the word out and as many people listening as they can. I love sharing what I do, and if I can help you in any way, obviously, you know, again, feel free to email me, jamiedelaney@gmail.com or jamie@drdelaney.com. You know, I'll have the spelling and everything in the show notes as well, but I'd love to hear from you. As you also know, you know, we have a garden going on, and it's fruit trees in the backyard, and still mango season, and it's fun trying different mangoes that are springing up. But we have mangoes, different mangoes come ripe at different times of the summer, so that's still fun. I've got some papayas on my trees. I harvested my first jicama, so that's really cool. And I learned from the guy where we buy our fruit trees down at Fruitscapes in Pine Island, Florida, that if you have a dead tree that's just a stick without any leaves, it's not really dead. It's just dormant. And my lychee tree, I had actually planted too close to some more salty type water. So I dug it up and stuck it in a pot. And I was so excited that we have some leaves coming out on it. So it wasn't dead. It's coming back to life. So that was exciting. Again, you know, as many of you know, when I listen, I go out at lunchtime and throw the Frisbee for the dogs and, check out the garden. It's always fun to see what's growing and blooming. We have, jalapeno peppers and other peppers that are starting to, really produce, and basil is really producing, and still have some tomato plants. My okra is blooming. That's one thing that loves the Florida heat. So you can always grow okra. And so far, I even have corn, and it's in tassel, so might even have some corn this summer. And there's some beans, not very many of them growing. That's a new venture for us, but we do have some beans growing up, pole beans growing up the trellis. So that's all good. The other trees are getting bigger, and I have little avocados starting. We've already had one avocado, so it's a process, but it's very, very enjoyable, and it's nice to get outside and see the things grow, and it's nice to look out and see how things are green, and how the trees are really making the backyard look. Hopefully one day we'll be able to take the nutrition class on a tour of the garden and the fruit trees. I think that'll be really exciting when people can actually harvest some things on their own. So until then, we'll keep working on it. It's like everything, it's a journey. It's one that I really, really enjoy. There were a couple things on Twitter today that caught my eye. One was about Ironman Canada having a sponsor that made bone broth. Typically in the Ironman, on the back half of the run, it starts to get dark, and they offer some sort of broth. It's typically chicken broth, but apparently this year they're going to offer bone broth because there's so many people that are inclined to be paleo and, you know, want to eat like a caveman and eat bones, I guess. But there's been numerous studies that link organic chicken, free-ranged organic chicken bones with high lead levels. And, you know, we know that lead is associated with nerve damage, kidney damage, bone marrow damage, memory loss, depression. And, you know, even acceptable less than 25 parts per billion levels of lead is associated with increased uric acid and gouty attacks. That's really not what an Ironman wants, is to have gouty arthritis. And 20 times below the acceptable risk of iron levels can increase your risk of gout. It can take 30 years to get this lead out of your system. Obviously, Gretchen doesn't think that lead is very good. I don't give my dog chicken bones. I don't want any part of animal bones or animal broth. Increased lead in my system. It's, you know, it's hard enough to get enough nutrients in without adding extra toxins to our system. So, I mean, you know, it is just ridiculous that companies like this is going to, you know, make this seem like a great thing to do during an Ironman race. It's crazy. You know, vegetable broth would be so easy to have if they want to have a broth that would actually provide some antioxidants. There's, you know, having some chicken broth that maybe had a trivial amount of protein and a lot of fat is really not going to do somebody any good at mile 10 or 12 into the marathon and an Ironman. But I guess they're thinking that you can replace your... But then again, they're probably not thinking about salt or anything else other than sponsor and sponsor money. So that's kind of a shame. The same thing goes with a Twitter feed. Oscar Mayer is doing, you know, an all-natural hot dog and all-natural products because, you know, the World Health Organization has deemed processed meats as class 1 carcinogen. So they're taking the nitrates and nitrites out and using a asterisk ingredient to preserve quality with it. They don't say what it is. But, you know, you have to remember, no matter what they take out as far as a preservative, it is still processed bones and the meat stripped off of bones and the kind of the worst of the worst are what's left over to make these things. So there's really nothing healthy about it. No matter how you slice it, there's lots of ways to enjoy a summer so-called something on a hot dog bun. So whether you put a carrot and you put the condiments in, and that's actually quite good if you haven't tried it. So you kind of cook a carrot a little way, and then you can saute. If you boil a little bit, then you saute it in some spices, typically some chili powder and paprika and a little tamari, and you let that soak a little bit. Then you roast it, and then you put that on a bun with the typical hot dog fixings. It's quite good. It was invented by Ann Esselstyn, Dr. Esselstyn's wife. But I've been to triathlons where there were hot dog buns and I just put the condiments, because really what you're looking for when you're eating these things is you're looking for the condiments. You're looking for the ketchup and the mustard and the relish and the onions. So you can do quite nice with just the bun, or add a carrot that gives you some more nutrients. So that's always good. You could put potatoes on there. You could put, and put your condiments on there as well, if that's what you wanted. But there's a lot of ways around it. You don't need to, go the route of processed meat or processed vegetables or anything else, because again, you're adding a tremendous amount of sodium to your diet, and sodium is directly toxic to your blood vessel walls. No matter how old you are, you really can't afford to have your blood vessels hit with the direct toxins of salt and other products that are probably in there that they don't have to list, because there's so many of them, and different kinds you can get away with not having to lists some of these chemicals, because they're, a bunch of chemicals in small proportions that are under the radar of what they actually have to list. So, be careful. Stay away from this stuff. Eat the condiments if you have to. Stay away from the artificial dogs of any kind, and certainly don't eat a dog. I was in Walmart this evening getting some groceries for dinner. We have a little Walmart marketplace that you can run in, and they have a pretty good produce section. They have a pretty good organic section that I can kind of run in after work and then do the self-checkout and get out. So I went in to get my spinach and some other greens and various things. And on the way out, I was looking, and I was going to check on the way in to see what, people say it's very expensive to buy plant-based foods. And so I meant to go and see what, the potato chips and all those things cost that people spend their money on without ever thinking or worrying about. But I didn't. But on the way out, I looked back, and there was this, looked like a gallon size at least of cheese curls or cheese puffs, and they were like $5.96. And then there was a six-pack of Gatorade for about $5.86. And then there was a thing of Pop-Tarts for $3.86. And so if I compared that to some of the things that I bought, like four potatoes for $1.79, or my organic cauliflower, which was $3.76, and it was a large head of cauliflower, that I can do all kinds of things with, as far as I can eat it like it is. I can make cauliflower rice. I could make a cauliflower sauce or cauliflower soup with it. I could feed several people with this head of cauliflower for $3.76 and really be a much better dinner and provide so many more nutrients than the Pop-Tarts and certainly the cheese puffs. I also got some organic peas for $1.88. That was less than this. I had two bunches of bananas that were organic for $2.62. My six avocados actually came up to $5.34, still cheaper than the Gatorade and the cheese puffs. People are afraid to buy fruit. I got some cherries for $4.15, a big bag. So again, loaded with nutrients and antioxidants. If you take out the junk food from your diet, there's plenty of room in your budget to eat healthy and to eat fresh produce. It doesn't have to necessarily be organic, because people asked me the other night, do I buy all organic? And I was like, no. If I'm in the grocery store and I need kale, and the organic kale is all wilty, but the non-organic kale or the regular kale is not, then I'm going to get the regular kale and rinse it off, and I'm still eating low on the food chain, and that kale's not going to get me. But if I ate the animal that would eat the greens, then that would be a much higher dose of pesticides and herbicides. So, you know, I don't worry about the organic when it comes to, you know, getting my vegetables. I want my kale one way or the other. The other way to find savings is in supplements. You know, other than B12, there's no need to buy all these crazy supplements. I have people come in with bags of supplements that they're trying to take to boost their antioxidants and to boost their digestive health and to boost their skin condition and to boost this and that. And these things can, you know, be $50, $100 that they spend for a month's supply. You can buy a lot of vegetables for what you pay in supplements. So don't worry about that. And, you know, in getting back to some of the blood tests, you know, there are some designer blood tests out there to woo patients with getting a, you know, you're getting all this, these great blood tests to show you this and show you that. And some of them are the metabolism of folic acid. And the reality of it is, you get plenty of folic acid if you eat fruits of color, specifically orange fruits and vegetables. It's, you know, unless you have some sort of genetic abnormality that is, you know, extreme and you're not going to really make it into adulthood with it, you're going to be fine if you eat adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables and specifically colors. And to take a folic acid supplement or one of these folic acid metabolism and, you know, enhancers is really just not worth the money. So eat your carrots and sweet potatoes and papaya and cantaloupe and peppers, and you'll get plenty of vitamins and antioxidants, and you don't have to worry about taking these supplements, and you'll save yourself a lot of money. And in reality, it'll probably make the waterways cleaner, because most of these you actually end up in the toilet anyway and into our water system. So for the rest of us, don't take all these extra vitamins. So what am I going to do this weekend for my Ironman training? I'm going to go on a long run tomorrow morning. I'm going to head for 15, 16 miles, see how it goes. I'm going to pre-fuel with, I usually get up and I have about a half a cup of coffee and some water and a date or two. And then I'll run with my dogs about 4 miles. I'll bring them back and feed them breakfast and have a couple more dates. And I'll take my water bottle and I'll head out and I'll run to a park where I'll refuel my water bottle. And I actually take some goo with me. I'll have a gel, which is, you know, flavored with whatever. I'll have a gel when I'm running out and perhaps one on the way back. And then I'll come back in after the 15 miles and I'll rehydrate with a big full Vitamix blender of cherries, watermelon, and banana. Put some greens in there, probably put some spinach in there as well, maybe some blueberries. And that'll be meal number one. And then I'll go from there and see what I want. Usually it's getting closer to lunchtime, so I'll probably end up eating some leftovers. We have some vegetable soup and some greens. And then go for dinner. And then Sunday will be a long bike ride. And we try to get up and start, eat before the bike ride. We typically have some teff. And I make, that's spelled T-E-F-F. It's an Ethiopian grain. Kind of has the texture of cocoa wheat, so to speak. But I'll put some cacao powder in there with because of the antioxidants. I also put some walnuts, cinnamon, nutmeg, some allspice, dates, raisins, and some banana, and we'll have that with a fruit salad and then head out on the bike. On the bike, I do take some Scratch Labs. It's an electrolyte drink, mainly because I just want something with some calories while I'm into liquid calories. And then I made some cookies with flaxseed, oats, the whole wheat, what I talked about earlier, carrots, raisin, dates. I'm going to take those with me. And we also use the Clif product makes a beet banana type of gel. It's like the baby food in the you can see in the stores that are in the containers. So it's, you know, like a pureed beet and banana. Have that. We take about 3 24-ounce bottles of water, and we'll stop and get more water along the way. And then, you know, depending on how long we'll ride, I'll probably have a couple gels. And I guess we'll aim for close to 80 miles this weekend and see how that goes, depending on the weather and how things go. And come back and, again, rehydrate with that watermelon smoothie and have some leftovers, whatever we don't have leftover from tomorrow night's dinner. I'm not sure what that's going to be just yet. And go from there. Eat when you're hungry. Drink when you're thirsty. But nothing, nothing in excess, and nothing fancy. No protein powders. No, crazy recovery drinks or anything like that. So enjoy, and we enjoy every meal, and have some fresh fruit when I come back. Again, I like to try to chase every meal with fruit. I'm about to have some watermelon now. And I hope so you all have a good weekend. And again, please check out my new website, drdelaney.com. If you're locally, sign up for an information session so I can tell you more about the new wellness practice. I want to take care of people, make them live longer and live better. We're going to assess their functional capacity, functional mobility, and exercise capacity, and nutrient levels, and get everybody on the right track. And if you're not close to me, we can do a lot of these things online. So if you want to do that with me online, that's an option as well. Follow what I eat on Instagram at jamiladelaney.com. I am on Facebook, Jamila Delaney, a little bit on Twitter. So I look forward to seeing you. Drop me a hi, and check out my little PETA site. You know, I got on that there, got with those good doctors, those fancy doctors on the PETA site. So check that out and give me a shout out. Love to hear from you. So have a good weekend. Thank you.